Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, the Monday morning version this week. I am Scott Jensen, joined again by Jeff Erickson. Happy to have Jeff back after a couple of weeks of guest hosting here. We are sponsored by WynnBET. That's WynnBET. We do appreciate them for the sponsorship. If you could please rate or review the podcast, it goes a long way towards helping us out, too. If you're listening to us on audio, thank you. We are also live on Periscope, Facebook Live, all that stuff, Twitter, essentially Periscope, YouTube, all that kind of stuff. If you have any questions or comments as we're going along here, feel free to jump in the chat here. We will see what we can do. Jeff, it's good to have you back. It was a couple of weeks. We had some good guests, but it's really good to have you back.
Good to be back. I'm glad I was invited back because you had some great guests.
And, we did. They were actually really good. I really appreciate Toby and Vlad jumping on the Sundays, and Michael Govier jumped on the Thursday when I filled in for you. So it was fun getting to chat some baseball with all them.
Yeah, it's always good to bring fresh voices too, and join people. And we had Toby before, but it's good for you and Toby to jump on together. That was a really good one.
Yeah, and good. Yeah, it was really good. And it was good. I had never done a podcast or actually talked to Michael Govier, so that was really fun. Dude has a ton of energy and really funny. So it was fun getting to chat with him. So it was good. But your trip was good. Everything's good.
Yeah. So had two trips. I had the vacation. And then had to go visit my parents' trip this weekend for Father's Day and Mom's birthday. So that was really good. My brother and I were able to go out to Wichita, Kansas and do that. Nice. So happy to get that done. But that was a lot of traveling last week. I'm happy to be home for a few weeks.
I was going to say, you go nowhere forever, then you take two trips within like 2 weeks, right? That's
right. Great. And then we got the Vegas trip for RotoWire. Are you going this year?
I don't think I can swing it because it's middle of the week, but I told someone that I might try and jump out there for a night and see what I can do. But I don't know. It's tough schedule-wise at the moment during the week because you guys do it during the All-Star break. But some of us are actually working during the All-Star break, Jeff.
No, I didn't know kidding.
That. Yeah, it's a strange concept, I know. But all right. Well, happy Father's Day to you, too. That applies for you. I know you went to see your dad, but also you have kids. So happy Father's Day to you.
And Hope back at you, my friend.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Let's jump right in. We're talking this morning, so all the Fab stuff has run last night. But let's talk a little bit about Week 13 coming up. Jeff, we have five teams with five games this week. That's always a letdown. You have so many off days, and you're trying to figure out lineups and stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's really difficult. And Rockies. I mean, they're kind of a wasteland on with their bats when they're not at Coors. Anyhow, you're going to start Trevor Story. You're going to probably start Charlie Blackmon, although he's been kind of disappointing.
Yeah, and you're going to
start. Who else are you starting?
Ryan McMahon.
McMahon. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
But that's,
yeah,
that's right. Even in the two game stretch, like Blackmon McMahon, like maybe not. Like it depends who else your options are, really, as it always comes down to. But there's only, it looks like there's only five teams with seven games. Four teams with seven games, two teams with eight games. So two of those eight games, the Braves have one doubleheader in there, and the Mets have two doubleheaders in there. So it's a little confusing. The Mets have four single games, and then four doubleheader games. So it's kind of confusing because those are seven innings. But Braves, Mets, the Astros have a really good schedule this week, which is disappointing to an A's fan who looks up and the Astros never lose. They went and they smoked the White Sox this week. And every time I'm like, oh, the Astros playing the White Sox, it's a pretty good series. And every time I look up, it was 6-1 in like the third inning. Even when Lance Lynn was pitching, they were up 6-1 in the third inning.
But, yeah, that's right. Rodon's the only one that didn't struggle. They still lost that game, but
yeah, it was the A's are playing really well. They lost 2 out of 3 this weekend against New York and had one of the more disgusting losses I've seen yesterday. But the Astros have 3 at Baltimore, 4 at Detroit. Got to think they're going to absolutely rake this week. Good week for their pitchers. Good week for their hitters. It's hard to see Houston not winning like 5 games at least this week.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, that, you know, I made a priority of adding Houston bats this week, and we'll talk about a couple. And there are a couple to add too, which is interesting. So, yeah. And the thing is, going back to our 5 game teams: Colorado, San Francisco, the White Sox, Angels, and Seattle. Like the White Sox bats, I mean, honestly, you're probably going to roll with a lot of those guys. You're going to roll with Tim Anderson. You're going to roll with Jose Abreu, and in part because there's only 5 teams with 7 games, and those 2 teams with 8. There's not most; the vast majority have 6. So one game difference. Probably not going to go out of your way to bench some of these guys.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the White Sox, though. I was looking at their lineup the other day, and I know they have obviously the 2 huge holes in the lineup with Robert and Eloy Jimenez. But you look at, like, Abreu's hitting .245. Brian Goodwin hit cleanup yesterday. I know Grandal has the crazy walk rate, but he's hitting .166 or something like that. Zach Collins hit .223. Andrew Vaughn's hitting .231. Mercedes down to 266, hit 8th yesterday. It's amazing to me that they're 43-29. When you look at A, the injuries, and B, a lot of their stars are not. I mean, Tim Anderson's been great, but a lot of the stars are not really performing.
Well, it's because of their pitching. Their starting pitching has been phenomenal. Been
awesome. I mean, between Rodon and Lance Lynn themselves, I mean, it's just been so good. But you would think at that record, you're like, oh, that White Sox lineup. And every time I look at them, I'm like, oh, I can't start a pitcher against them. And then I look at the lineup, I'm like, oh, maybe they're not quite as good as I think they are. It's just that their pitching's been awesome.
Yeah, and then you get that way, and then you get some left-hander that gets crushed by them anyhow. And then
that's true too.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It isn't the same lineup right now. That's for sure.
No, I think I have it in my head that they may be a little bit better offensively than they usually are. But yeah, I mean, that top of the lineup's still good. And Moncada's interesting. He's in .277, .401 OBP though. So like, he's like a really valuable on-field player right now, even if fantasy-wise he's been pretty disappointing for a lot of people due to the fact that I think he actually stole a base finally, but the power and the speed just haven't been there. The average is okay, but OBP 401, his slugging is 403. That'll tell you right there what you need to know.
You're not getting what you paid for, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. So let's jump into Fab. We had some big names getting called up. Obviously, Wander Franco got called up, but after the deadline, and he's not available in any leagues. At least he wasn't available in any of mine. I think he's 100% owned in the main. There might be some onlines where he's out there hanging out. But Jesus Sanchez was called up by the Marlins, played most of the week for them, so he was readily available in a lot of leagues. He's only 5 for 22 with 1 home run so far. He was killing AAA, though, Jeff. 9 home runs. 28 RBIs, hitting .349, 140 plate appearances. Were you aggressive going after Sanchez? Are you worried that maybe when Corey Dickerson comes back, the playing time goes away? How did you kind of handle this call-up?
I was not aggressive, in part because of the playing time issue. The other part is I'm a little worried about the strike zone control. It's small sample theater, but no walks, 9 Ks already in 22 plate appearances. Give him some time. Obviously, we're not going to judge this off of 1 week, but I do wonder if he's going to struggle a little bit against major league pitching right away. The thing is, they are going to be crowded. I mean, you look at Adam Duvall had himself a weekend against the Cubs.
Goodness, did he? Yeah.
And, he's got to play. Starling Marte's got to play.
Yep.
And it's really a case of how much are you going to be willing to bench Dickerson when he comes back, and Garrett Cooper too. Keep in mind, they're down him right now too. But honestly, if Sanchez is all that, Dickerson shouldn't stand in the way. Corey Dickerson is sneakily one of the worst defensive outfielders. You complained about Jeff McNeil a couple of years ago, and I forever remind you of that.
You do.
Jeff McNeil is like looking at Corey Dickerson like, man, I'm so much better than that.
And Dickerson's been really boring and blah hitting wise too. I mean, he's hit .263, but 2 home runs, 2 steals. He has 14 RBIs and 205 at bats. I mean, like, he just has done nothing. He's just kind of a guy out there. And if you're right, if Sanchez is good at all and looks like he can hit this level, I mean, I don't know if they'll do it. It's a veteran and all that kind of stuff with major league, managers and stuff. But I would think if Sanchez hits at all, he's a big improvement over Dickerson.
I think so. The Marlins are kind of in that little area there. They should be looking more at younger players a little bit more. That they really struggle on the road. They're better at home, but this is not the same team that made the playoffs last year. And of course, last year was being the aberrant year that it was, extra playoff team, shorter schedule, compressed schedule, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
They're kind of getting exposed for who they are.
And it's interesting. I saw the strikeout stuff too in the majors, and I was like, oh, that's worrisome. But I looked at the minors, and he's like a high teen strikeout guy throughout the minors. So, you know, maybe we are looking at small sample theater, as you said. And, you know, obviously these guys do get that bump up the first time through the majors. But I was heartened a little bit by the fact that he didn't strike out a ton in the minors. And I bid on him in every league. I wasn't aggressive. I didn't get him in the main event. I did get him in one of my onlines for a cheap price because the 12 teamers, as we talked last night, the 12 teamers, like I had 25 ads in one of mine. You had 5 ads in one of yours. Like, it's just wild how different those leagues are league to league in a 12 team. You got some guys that, some people that quit, some people that are out of money, all that kind of stuff. Some people that just aren't super active. We're in the main event. You know, you always have those 25 to 30 ads every week. But I think it'd be interesting. I just, I wonder how long the leash is, depending on how Dickerson comes back. We don't know how long he's fully out for yet. I think it was a sore foot or something. He didn't actually break anything, but I don't know. It'd be fun. I'm glad they called him up. I wish the Angels would do it with Joe Adell, because I'm sitting on him in a league and he's mashing in AAA, and they seem like they're really being patient with him.
Is it patient, or is there something they're just not, they don't like with him? I mean, I don't know. That's one I keep. I'm very impatient with Joe Adell. I saw him available in my AL home league this past week and didn't go after him just because I like that they're now playing him in center field a little bit more. But you look at a Joe Adell, and yeah, he's mashing, but he's also whiffing a ton. He's 58 Ks and 180 at plate appearances there.
Yeah, I think the call-up last year that didn't go well, I think they're trying to make sure that when they do it, it's for good. And it was a quote from Adell saying, you know, next time I go up, I want it to be for good too. But yeah. I don't know. They started Luis Ranjifo and Juan Lagares in the outfield yesterday, so it's not like he's blocked by anybody.
It's not like they're that close to winning either, though.
They're 500, though. I mean, but the problem is they're in a division with two really good teams right now. You know, maybe a chance at a second wild card, but with all the good teams in the American League, I mean, the AL East is kind of stacked with good teams too. It'll be tough, but I'm kind of surprised they're 500. They've been, aside from that A's series, they got swept. They have played pretty well for a while.
Yeah, they played okay. I mean, they played the Tigers this weekend. You know, I don't know. I look at that rotation too. Otani, Heaney, Bundy. Cobb is actually showing some signs. Canning, they're still going six-man rotation. Patrick Sandoval showed some decent signs this week. I don't know. I'm not really looking at this team as a contender, though. I think they're a couple of players away.
I'm not either. I agree with you there. And I guess the Indians have that second spot. They're 39-30. So yeah, they're pretty decent a ways out of contending. But I don't know, if you're 500 and it's June 21st, aren't in your team's mindset, aren't you still thinking you're contending, even if you and I don't think that's realistic?
Yeah. I mean, I think it all depends on what division you're in. Like, for instance, I mean, I think NL Central teams, no one's running away from that. Whereas like, I think it's really just a question, like the A's and the Astros are just that much better. And especially, I mean, the Astros look like when the Astros are on, I mean, they're scary. I mean, they're without.
You obviously know I'm a big A's fan. I just don't see how they can hang with Houston. Houston's just clicking so well right now, and they're getting guys back, and it's just my wife's obviously a big A's fan too. You know that, but she's always like, "Oh, the Astros keep winning." I'm like, "The Astros are just really good." Like, it just, I think I'm realistic. The A's are pretty good, but the Astros are probably a step up. But it's gonna be tough to hang with them all year.
Yeah, I think so too, and especially if they make any acquisitions at the deadline, which they're usually willing to do.
Yeah. So speaking of call-ups, another big prospect got called up by the Tigers this weekend, Matt Manning. He was the 9th overall pick in 2016. Started this week at the Angels, who we were just talking about. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. He was surprisingly bad in AAA this year. Like, he had an 8.07 ERA, a lot of home run issues. I think it was over 3.5 home runs per 9, if I remember. Had 32 innings there. In 2019 in AA, obviously not minor league numbers on him last year. He was really good, though. 133 innings, 2.56 ERA, 28% K rate, walk rate under 8%. You know, K to walk, even AAA this year, was pretty good, 25% to 7%. Where are you on Manning? Obviously, he's on a team that's not very good, to put it nicely. But they, you know, I assume they called him up to pitch. They have all their guys in the rotation now. What'd you do with Manning this week in free agent bidding?
You know, I wasn't that aggressive. I like him in the long term. I think he's going to be really bumpy going forward. You know, he didn't strike out many against the Angels. Angels aren't a team that strikes out a lot. He was really good in his last start against my Reds farm club in Louisville, 8 Ks and 6 innings, only 2 runs allowed. But yeah, you're right. Prior to that, the struggle was real. He'd given up a bunch of homers. I don't know. I look at some of the other top prospects and how they fared when they got called up this year. Daniel Lynch, Jackson Kowar, even Alek Manoah, who made that shiny debut, and then afterwards was kind of like, after that. In fact, wasn't great over the weekend.
Last start was bad and got ejected, so it was he had the double whammy there.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe I'm, looking at these pitchers as a class too much. But Casey Mize struggled a little bit upon his call-up. Tarik Skubal's getting better now, but he's had his rough outings. I wasn't that aggressive with him.
Yeah,
I think if you get him really cheap, I can get him. But otherwise, I would. I don't have him. I don't think I've gotten him yet.
I wasn't either. It's funny you talk about it. We talk about pitching and kind of struggling. You mentioned before we got on the spider tack sticky stuff. The rules go into effect today. Is that right?
It is. It's spider tack day for Major League Baseball because. let's find one more thing to anti-market the game.
Why do we talk about Ohtani and Vlad Jr. and market them when we could talk about pitchers cheating? It makes so much sense for making your product more interesting to people.
Yeah, and it's no coincidence there's a CBA due at the end of the year, and everything's kind of crushing towards that. I think it's going to be a pretty ugly offseason.
Do you think we see a bunch of suspensions of guys coming off the mound or managers protesting and having the umpires go look at it? How do you think? Do you think we see a bunch of that, or do you think guys have figured out that they just have to go without it for right now?
I think we'll see it. I think we will, especially because, I think players are mad right now too. Pitchers are mad because they're getting singled out. I think that they were taught by their organization to do this, and I think that's the part that's really galling. Is you saw Zach Gallen's comments. Because Michael Hill was a former Marlins GM, and he was part, helping oversee things. And, the Marlins obviously were emphasizing use this. I would worry about the rest of the Marlins pitchers for that matter while we're at it, but it
seemed like a weird time for Gallen just come out and lay that guy out though. It was very, I wonder if there's some sort of axe he had to grind there that he just randomly brought it up.
Well, it's not random. Michael Hill's now in the enforcement wing of Major League Baseball.
I got you. Okay. That makes sense.
So, that they're coming down with this, like, this is the same guy saying this, look, and now you're going to throw the onus on us. Plus, he's dealing with coming back from injuries. I think there's something to that as well. And of course there's the Tyler Glasnow story last week, where he flat out blamed it.
There was interesting, Peter Moylan, the old, the ex relief pitcher for the Braves had like a 4-minute clip on, he does a pregame show. I think it's for the Braves. And he was talking about why you use stuff and using examples of the ball and what happens when you rub it up and happens when you don't rub it up. It was actually an interesting, 4 minutes on why pitchers use it rather than, he said he was never trying to increase the spin rate, just trying to be able to grip the ball. And he said when the ball comes out of the box, it's just really, really slick, and you can't do it. You have no idea where it's going.
Right. And, that leads to more blisters and blah, blah, blah. I get it.
It'll be interesting. One of those things that I think fantasy-wise, it's pretty much impossible to really try and factor it in. And more than anything happening mid-season, which frustrates me. Like, I wish they had, it was an abnormal offseason with COVID and all the rules and trying to figure out scheduling and all that kind of stuff. So maybe it just kind of slipped through. But it just seems like if it was that big a deal, maybe you figure out in between seasons, or maybe you warn guys down and figure out in between seasons. It just seems odd to really kind of stress this now mid-season and make it such a focal point.
Yeah, they sent that memo like 10 days before the start of the season, if you recall. And we all kind of like, okay, should we fade Cole? Should we fade Bauer a little bit there? And some people did.
Yeah.
Okay. The problem with that obviously is if 90% of the pitchers are using it, okay, you're not really getting any benefit there. That's right. The thing. I don't know how actionable this is for us.
Yeah, Garrett Cole's still pretty good too, by the way.
Yeah.
So, but let's jump back into Fab. Another guy that has two starts this week, and I think the matchups were kind of what interests me. Johan Oviedo. The last start was against Miami, was really good. 7 innings, 6 hits, 4 strikeouts, no earned runs. But he gets at Detroit and home Pittsburgh this week. So that's one of those ones where you're like, oh, that lit up as not only one good matchup, but two of them. Wasn't good in Double A in 2019. Again, we don't have 2020 minor league stats. 113 innings, 5.6 ERA, a lot of walks, and that's kind of the big concern with his profile right now. I looked at him, and I think I added him one place just because of the matchups, and he pitched well last week. But he looked closer, like 4.5 ERA so far this year. 18% K rate is not good. 11.6% walk rate is not good. I got less interested as I went along, but the Cardinals usually do pretty well with pitchers. They usually figure stuff out. Mm-hmm. They have some Cardinals magic. I was in on him, but I kind of lowered my prices as the day went along.
Yeah, I that's kind of how I was looking at it there. And, it's the walks. I mean, that's the scary part. But that the Cardinals, that's like a team feature. Their bullpen is horrific when it comes to walks. John Gann is terrible when it comes to walks. And Daniel Ponce de Leon has not discovered the fountain of control. Yeah, of course, of course. That's free square, total free square. And there's Carlos Martinez. Just say his name. That's the joke. You look then again, though, at Detroit, home against Pittsburgh. If you're not going to use him here, you're never going to use him. By the way, you're cutting him next week, though, at Colorado.
Yes, that's a good point right there. He is not a long-term ad, but I don't know. You look at Detroit and Pittsburgh, like you figure maybe he can kind of work through that and figure it out. But it's just those walks freak me out.
Yeah, I hear you. I think I did add him in an NL only just because desperation. But, it's definitely a bad setup there otherwise.
Yeah, Carlos Martinez, my God, every time that guy pitches, it feels like he either pitches kind of well or gives up 9 runs. Like, there's never an in-between start with that dude.
He had the Sunday night game against the Cubs last week where he pitched pretty well.
Yeah.
Thanks to Nolan Arenado making 2 great plays at third base in 1 inning. That was part of that equation. And then he gets just destroyed this past weekend.
I mean, it's crazy. You look at his game log, and it's just, I mean, the amount of runs he has an 8 earned run game and a 10 earned run game in June alone. Like, that, usually you get one of those a year. You're like, oh my gosh, look at that blow up. He had 2 of them within 4 starts. It's wild.
Yeah.
And that 10 earned game against the Dodgers was 2/3 of an inning too. Like, that's one that'll literally leave a mark for months on your fantasy team. A guy who has been pitching pretty well is Ross Stripling. He has 2 starts this week also. 4.6 ERA so far, 54 innings. But you look at his stuff, and like the rates and stuff we look at are back up to where they were in 2019 with the Dodgers when we liked him. His strikeout rate's back up 25%. His walk rate's down to 7%. The swinging strike rate's back over double digits, 10.7%. And he just kind of looks right now like the guy that we liked in 2019 when he had the trade that didn't work out, and then it did work out and it didn't work out. Last 5 innings, 7 earned runs total over 30 1/3. Were you in on Stripling at all? I know that the AL East is a tough place to pitch. But
wasn't available, but okay. I would have been. And the thing is, there was that viral thing that went around last week how he showed up his infielder for making a bad error.
Did apologize profusely afterwards, like I think
on Twitter, yeah, immediately, because he got called out and he responded to the writers like, "You're absolutely right. I'm embarrassing. It'll never happen again. Let this be a lesson. Don't."
Apparently,
he
went right to panic in the dugout and then again after the games. Like, it was horrible what he did. And I saw, I mean, everybody, like old pitchers, were tweeting about it and all that, but. It seemed like you handled it pretty well, at least after the initial, like, obviously you can't do that, but like in the heat of the moment, but it sounds like he handled himself pretty well afterwards and kind of fell on the sword. He did the opposite of Bryson DeChambeau, who blames everybody else for everything in his life. But, sorry, I had to drop a golf reference in there. But dude shoots +9 in the back 9 and blames really bad lies and bad breaks for why. Like, dude, you played like crap. Like, shut up. Stop.
I'm happy with how I played today. You know, there's a couple of those guys that got killed on the back 9 yesterday with their quotes afterward didn't match up with what they did.
Yeah.
I'm happy with.
I was like, Bryce, you should +9. Like, if you got in a divot and lost by 1 and you kind of played okay, like, fine. But like, he was brutal. It just, like, every once in a while, take blame for just playing badly. It happens. Like, all of us would fully acknowledge it happens. But, anyway, sorry for
No, it's fine. I want to throw one more thing in there too. He's like, and afterward, he's like, well, you know, at least I've already won one, so I'm all that. And like, dude, that's just loser talk. Don't do that.
Yeah, he's just every once in a while he comes with something. You're like, oh, this is kind of funny, and then you're like, oh, he's just the same guy he always was. But Stripling's at Miami, which is a pretty good start, and then home Baltimore. So like, he pitches in the AL East, but that's a pretty good setup if you have 2 starts too. Mm-hmm. So I was in on him too. I think I got outbid in a couple spots, but I think that there's enough we've seen the last 5 starts to make me mild interested. Maybe he's kind of figured out where he was in 2019 again.
Yeah.
Let's see. What about a guy that has been pitching really well too is Colby Allard in Texas. 40 innings so far, ERA under 3. So actually really, really well. K rate's really good at 26.5%. Walk rate's in the 6% range. He was really bad last year, but this is a guy that's a prospect pedigree. He's a 14th overall pick. He was really good in the minors in 2017, 2018 when he was kind of one of those Braves prospects that's coming up. Swinging strike rate's over 10%. Just walking a lot less guys than last year. The walks were a huge issue for him last year. How do you feel about Allard going forward? Because this is kind of a surprising guy who's been really good.
Kind of evaded my radar, to be honest. It's like sometimes Texas, I guess maybe it's just I'm not watching enough of Texas. But, I didn't realize the walks had improved so much. He shaved that walk rate in half. That's the one thing. And he didn't, he had like 2 years ago, 2019, he had – about 4 or 5 good starts in a row.
Yeah,
and then things
that.
Corrected. And then they got overcorrected last year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of had written him off. He's back. I'll have to re-examine, but it's probably too late in a lot of places. But it's just kind of like, you know, Allard, every once in a while, Jordan Lyles puts strings together, three good starts, and you start to believe, and then he pounds it. It's like a poor man's Carlos Martinez.
Yeah, I mean, although Carlos Martinez would love to have that string of starts that Colby Allard had. But yeah, I'm the same way. I probably a little bit a week late to the game on him, and he was taken in main events. But interesting that he's been really solid. You look at some of the secondary metrics, and they kind of do support the fact that he's taking a step up here.
Yeah, he has. Gets Oakland this week, RAs, and yep. That's not – it's a home start, that ballpark. We're still trying to figure that out a little bit too, but it looks like it's not a bad place to pitch at least. We'll see. We'll see how it works out. While we're on the Rangers, can we talk that Kyle Gibson still has a 2.09 ERA?
I am in the TGFBI, my team that is literally the worst team that's ever been drafted because everybody's hurt. But I have him there. I picked him up early just because it was like I had so many injuries. I was looking for any live arms. And it's one of those guys I'm like, oh, I'll just use him for a week. And I just kind of left him in. He's been, I don't know how he's doing it. But it's just every start is really solid. At 33, he's having that breakout year I've been waiting for a long time.
Yep. He's going to be a sticky stuff guy. No, I don't know.
He could be. I mean, the K rate's under 20%. It's not like he's striking guys out. It's lower than it was last couple of years. 244 BABIP and an 84% left on base rate are probably doing a lot of good for him. But you still look at his other means, FIPS 3.36, XERA is 3.11. I mean, the guy's been good. He's avoiding home runs, which he hasn't done for many, many years.
Yeah, that's right.
One more pitcher before we get some fab hitters. Michael Fulmer was dropped in a number of leagues, probably more 12 teamers than 15, but came off the aisle, had two saves this week, kind of seemed to slide right back into that role. Soto and Cisnero were kind of splitting it, and then Fulmer, two saves, struck out the side against the Angels yesterday, left the ghost runner on base too, which was always really good. You look at his stuff, and like I know we talked about him a few weeks ago when he was kind of in the closer, and we talked about him as a starter a couple weeks before that. But swing strike rate's at a career high, 13.4%. Velo's up 2.5 miles an hour from last year. Obviously, coming out of the bullpen, I think we expect that a little bit, but that's a pretty big jump. Throwing more sliders, throwing more changeups, walk rate's good, career high K rate. This is a guy who seems to have really taken to the reliever role here.
He has, the first save earlier in the week was pretty ugly, The one here was pretty nice, and that's what caused us to bump up our bid. We actually won him 59-55 in one of our main event leagues against the guy that's in first place, Guilds. So even better, which is nice. Now, that's one triumph, but he's actually got to pitch well and get saves. But saves are so tightly compact in that league.
I think almost every league. You feel like you have like two teams that have like Melanson and someone else, so they have 30, and then you got a couple teams that are tanking, and then it always seems like you always like 10 teams that are all bunched up right in the middle. There's gonna be a lot of room to move and saves the second half.
Yeah, just getting 10 saves is huge.
Huge.
You get like the Cesar Valdez, except a little bit better, and he doesn't kill you at the end. And then that's like massive. Now it's the Tigers we're chasing, and it might not even be a full-time thing. That's the problem, is they may still go to Soto for their next one. They may go to Cisnero for the next one, but we still, you got to go for it. The problem is now we're also getting into that area there where you got to be pretty close in watching your fab so you can save some for September. Yeah. The good news is I think, this was a quiet week. There'll be other quiet weeks in fab. You're going to have to start lowering those streamer bids.
Yeah, I think that's the key point. Like instead of like 24 bucks for a guy, you go like to 9, which I kind of did this week. And just you're hoping that you can have maybe one or two more bigger bids as we go along. Maybe guys get called up or someone gets dropped or a closer kind of emerges. But I think that's a really good price for Fulmer. He went for 81 in my main event where he was available. And the team dynamics always in play. He'd get traded is obviously in play too. But if you can get a stretch of saves here, I think that 59 bucks for that works pretty well. And the Tigers are bad, but it's not like they're Arizona Diamondbacks bad.
Oh my gosh. Who saw that? I mean, it was so weird that they had an earlier stretch that was pretty bad early in the season, faced my Reds and got well, our Reds, sorry, and got well. And they were doing okay for a while. And then just, I mean, it was just so unbelievably bad.
The craziest stat that I think. So, what are they? They lost like 23 road games in a row. Is that right?
Yeah. And they're like, they've won two of their last 26 total or something like that.
They've lost 23 road games in a row. They are not the worst road team in baseball. Is that amazing?
Is the Rockies worse? Are the Rockies worse?
The Diamondbacks are 9-31. The Rockies are 5-27 on the road.
Oh my gosh. NL West for the win, guys. Wow.
I mean, I was like, they've lost 23 in a row. I'm like, oh my God. And I looked and just happened to be right next to them. And the Diamondbacks have won 5 games on the road all year. Like the Rockies are not 9 games over 500 at home. And they are 22 games under on the road. Like, holy crap, is that nuts?
I mean, they've always had that Coors Field problem, and they just took it to another level this year.
Yeah, and the Diamondbacks have played 73 games. Their run differential is over 100, minus 107. I mean, it's just their pitching is so, so brutal. They've given up 416 runs, which is like 40 more than any other team in baseball, I think. It's, it's so bad there right now.
Yeah, and, just don't bother chasing Arizona saves. Just don't worry about it.
I had Soria for a while. I just gave up because, A, I don't think he's really the locked-in guy. And he came in and blew one. But, when you win once a week, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I have Crichton in one NL-only league, and I'm just like, what do I do? I mean, he's there. I'm not going to cut him because it's NL-only, but
right.
He's terrible too. They're all terrible.
Yeah, it's rough. So I want to get to a couple of hitters. It seemed like it was not a huge hitter week, but first, a note from our sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So the first hitter I was looking at, Jeff, and we're here again. He's back in our life, is Dalton Varsho. Carson Kelly got hit by a pitch by Walker Buehler over the weekend, broke his wrist. Sounds like he's going to be out at least a month. And, that's one of those things that, who knows, it'll be more than that. But Varsho got called up, probably going to split time with Stephen Vogt. He's been great in AAA again. He's hitting .313, 9 home runs, 2 steals, and only 87 plate appearances. He's had multiple times up now in the majors where it didn't work. He hasn't hit well. He didn't get regular playing time. They've kind of moved him in and out of the lineup. That's just tough to get in rhythm. Maybe it's his time to stick. I mean, Arizona has no reason not to play him right now. If they're going to call him up and they're this bad, like, there's no reason not to play him. How do you feel about Varsho for probably the 7th time we've talked about him in the Fab section over the last couple of years?
Yeah, it's the fact that we thought that he could play outfield and qualify a catcher, that was always like one of those things that was alluring there. But then you look at the actual results, and it's always been a lot of K's and not any walks. And the thing is, there's a shell of the, he's still a prospect. That's the thing. A lot of guys struggle first, third, fourth times. And there's another guy we're about to talk about too, kind of fits that mold a little bit. Although I think he's better with his batting eye than Varsho, but. Take a chance. I mean, let's face it, we're all rolling out some pretty crappy catchers.
Yeah. And I mean, this is a guy that if he plays could get you 5 to 7 steals, which is really the key point we're looking at. You can get that from a catcher. Like that's just found money at that point. I actually added him in one of my main events. It was funny. I swapped out both my catchers. I added Mike Zunino and Dalton Varsho in the main event. Zunino was 18 with a backup of 18. Good bidding right there. And Varsho was 8 with a backup of 7. So every once in a while, I get something right. It doesn't happen very often, but it felt good to actually bid the right amount for once.
I'm surprised Zunino was available. I mean, I know the batting average is bad and all, but
he was 19.
Homers are homers.
It was 98% owned, so I think it was just dropped in my league. I don't know if someone got someone back off the IL or didn't need homers and needed batting average. Maybe it was a team dynamic thing. But as someone who's been trotting out Jose Trevino for his 0 for 6 every week, it was time to make – I actually like Trevino coming into it. I thought he was going to be a guy that could be a good average guy. And started to lose times. Had like I think he's had a hip injury that's kind of been bugging him. But it's been like the last 3 weeks have been just brutal for him.
Yeah, they really have.
So the next guy I want to talk about leading off for the Giants, the surprising Giants who seem to score 8 runs every time I look up, Lamonte Wade Jr. He's the last 15 games he started, he's led off in all of them. 94 plate appearances, has 4 home runs, 2 steals, hitting .265. Good hard hit rate at 40%. Struggled in his call-ups. They were short, but in 2019, 2020. But in 2019 in AAA, not super exciting. 5 home runs, 7 steals, hit .246. Are we any interest in Wade, or do you kind of feel this is just maybe he ran into a little bit of a hot streak here, leading off and scoring some runs with the Giants, but you know maybe it's the hot weeks are gone?
I think it's mostly a hot week thing. Alex Dickerson's on the IL. I think that created the opportunity for him. He's never really even killed it in the minors. I mean,
he hasn't. It's surprising. I looked at his minors. I'm like, I wonder if he's really good there. I'm like, oh, not that exciting.
No, he might be able to run a little bit, but even that, I mean, he's never had more than 9 stolen bases with one. Or no, he had 12 in his rookie year, 2015, rookie ball year, not just rookie year. But you know, he's just not that. He's just not that fast. I mean, it's just not that getting that many stolen bases.
Yeah, no, I agree there. Let's look at Houston for a couple of hitters, which seems strange. I think you mentioned that earlier that, you know, we got a couple of Houston hitters, but they've had some injuries. Kyle Tucker has been on the COVID IL. Chaz McCormick's been playing a lot, playing right field every day since Tucker's been out. Hit second yesterday, only hitting .226, but 8 home runs and 122 plate appearances. Showed some pop, also has 2 stolen bases. In 2019, across AA and AAA, is a guy that, you know, speed power combo. So kind of, you know, we're talking about Wade wasn't there, but the minor league numbers with McCormick are 14 home runs and 16 stolen bases in 2019 and across the minors. K rate's an issue so far, but kind of like what we talked about with Jesus Sanchez, he was a low to mid teens guy in the minors. So a good striker guy in the minors, but I think he'll kind of stabilize there. I guess the major issue with McCormick, I mean, good hard hit rate too, is kind of playing time. Like when Tucker comes back, you know, where does he play? Does he play enough for you to pick him up this week, Jeff?
I think for this week, yes. Okay. And maybe next week we'll see when Tucker comes back. But you know, this is strictly a this is a stream. You know, they get 7 games this week and next. Yeah. You know, it's Baltimore, it's Detroit, it's Baltimore again, it's Cleveland minus Bieber and Plesak. Yeah, roll with it. Is that they're in the middle of a stretch of 20 games in 20 days, and so he's gonna play.
What about the other guys getting playing time here? Tell me about. I think you picked up some Abraham Toro this week.
My most added player this week, actually. Wow. Yeah. So Bregman's gonna be out for a while. You know the words from Dusty Baker after the injury were, you know, he seemed pretty despondent. You know, it's like we're gonna be without him for a while. I think, you know, with the quad, they thought it. In fact, I think they were hoping it was the hamstring that bothered him last year because they knew he could get past it. They sound like, oh, but it's the quad. Oh, that's worse. So,
and the really key here too is Aledmys Diaz is on the IL also. So you've got you got Bregman, you got his backup. So there really is a spot for playing time there.
Yeah, and you take a look at Toro's minors versus majors. I mean, he's one of those guys that, you know, we were talking about guys that, you know, I mean, Dalton Varsho earlier. Toro at least has always had good, you know, has always had a good bat control and, you know, good strike zone control. And, you know, you look at it, he's also raked in the minors. Now, granted, 2019 AAA was happy fun ball plus happy fun ballpark too.
Yeah.
You know, I he's going to get a run here though. It might be a platoon of some sort. He may sit against some lefties. He is a switch hitter though. You might see some Robel Garcia, I think Robel Garcia from time to time as well. But I made him a priority, as Zach Nelson asked. Am I bullish on Toro? Yes, I am. He will mow down the competition. But yeah, so many pun possibilities.
Let's not encourage Jeff, please. He has enough problems on his own. Let's not prod the bull here, as they would say.
Waving the red flag in front of me like that. I had a great bird pun this weekend. That was. I'm surprised you didn't chime in on that, Scott. I'm kind of a little disappointed.
I must have missed it, otherwise I would have shook my head in disgust.
Yeah,
they good, do. But. Houston does get five righties this week too. So if you do get a couple platoon spots, you mentioned a switch hitter, but still, it's a good spot that you still do get five righties. So that's really nice there. It's just a great week for Houston hitters. I mean, like you said, Baltimore, Detroit, Baltimore, and then Cleveland on the back end. Like if you're going to stream somebody, it's a great time to stream those guys.
It is. And you know, in thinner leagues, I mean, you even like take a look at the catchers, perhaps. You look at Martin Maldonado, who's very uninspiring, but yeah, he's playing. Yeah. That's you look at these matchups this week. He's going to get five starts 2 weeks in a row.
How do you feel about someone not on my list, but I know he's got picked up some leagues, and I was looking at him too. He's playing a lot. Abraham Almonte in Atlanta is hitting .271 for the Braves, but more than anything, just playing a lot in a lineup that scores a lot of runs. I know we've kind of had some history with him. I think it was in Seattle. I remember talking to you about him when he got called up. I think it was Cleveland, actually. He got really hot for a while there, and we were picking him up. He had a bunch of stolen bases. I think it was 2015, maybe. But were you in a Monte at all? I mean, he's 31. There's not a lot of upside here, but as someone who's playing a lot in a big lineup, I mean, he hit cleanup over the weekend for the Rays, which was kind of shocking.
Yeah, well, I used him in DFS because he was batting cleanup at a low price. And that's where you start to, DFS is good that way.
Yeah,
you notice things like that. And then you also notice he's had one homer. He was on my contingency list.
Okay.
But that's about it. But the Braves have eight games this week. You know, they play the doubleheader, back-to-back doubleheaders, by the way. It's kind of weird. Sunday and Monday doubleheaders.
Oh, that's right. They played one yesterday. I forgot about that. Yeah, they're the one sort of day game today. So we don't have any Monday day games, but they play at like 2:00 Pacific. So if you are
5:10 Eastern, yep.
If you are setting lineups, know that is it Braves and Mets? Is that who it is?
Braves and Mets, yep.
Yeah, they have they start a little bit earlier than the rest of the game, so make sure you get that lineup in. But anybody else fab wise? That was kind of the list of guys that I was bidding on, guys that I saw get added to my league. Is there anybody else that you really want to talk about before we jump into some news and notes and injuries and a few players?
I think we exhausted our list pretty good. Let's move on.
Yeah, so news and notes. Obviously, the big news yesterday, it kind of came out after I sent you the spreadsheet, but Wander Franco was getting called up by the Rays. I don't know if it's official, but every Rays beat writer had it.
It is official. The Rays official site actually tweeted it out.
Oh, beautiful. I know I think it was Mark Tompkin first had it out there, and he's a well-known beat writer for the Rays, so it was pretty sure that was good. But so he's getting called up on Tuesday. Obviously, very exciting. Fantasy-wise, he was taken in every league, unless you play a really shallow league. Obviously, if he's there, grab him right now. Where do you think he plays? Do you think he plays third? Do you think he plays short? Do you think they leave Taylor Walls, who's been really good defensively there? And what do you expect kind of out of the bat for Franco?
They said they're going to split him between short and third.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I mean, they – haven't gotten they sent down my Broussard a couple of times now, so that experiment seems to be ending. But it's Franco. I mean, Franco's going to get all the playing time. It's just a question of maybe he gets a day off here and there. It is the Rays are going to Ray. And Joey Wendell, who's been very good this year, can't get a regular playing time. So that's the one. He's the guy that kind of I figure loses out on this a little bit. Yeah. But the thing is, look at Joey Wendell's having a pretty good year. Yep. He's hitting .292. He's got an OBP of .350, slugging .491, five stolen bases. He's been caught five times, and he's excellent defensively. So that's the part I'm kind of confused at, is how this is going to work. I think Franco's going to get most of the time at shortstop, despite Walls playing pretty well.
Yeah. And Walls hasn't really – he had a couple stretching there where he was hitting well. But apparently if you look at, the defensive metrics and stuff like that, they say Walls has been off the charts good defensively. And I just don't know how much the Rays will factor that. I don't know a ton about Franco's defense, if I'm being fully honest. But, I mean, obviously the dude can just flat out hit. He hit over .300 every level so far in the minors. And he was hitting .315 with seven home runs, five stolen bases. And it's just – finally we got I know we have the spider stuff to talk about. But it's fun when the uber studs get called up. It's going to be must-see TV for a few games there in the Rays watching his first few at bats before we kind of get used to him in the lineup. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta figure they're not calling him up to play him 3 days a week. They gotta play him, so yeah, I expect a lot of them. They're coming off a weekend where they just got swept by the Mariners.
I was gonna say, I guess you get swept by Seattle and you have to make some rash moves. I mean, I don't think it's a rash move, obviously. We were waiting on it, but it's funny that it just took that and they're like, all right, let's pull the trigger.
Yeah, it is kind of weird though to see how it's everything's gonna fit, because and they got Lau at second, and they've got Wendell's and Yandy Diaz. I think it's Wendell's the guy that has to lose out a little bit, but maybe Lau hits every once in a while too now. I mean, Brandon Lau's hitting .202. You know, he's not having a good year. 703 OPS, slugging less than, I guess when you hit 202, you slug 399. It's not that much of a surprise. I mean, yeah. it's all batting average based.
And they take him out sometimes versus lefties anyway, but I think you see now he probably plays versus no lefties. Like, it's just one of those things that maybe they just kind of make that a stricter platoon. I think Walls lose some time. I think Lau lose some time. I think that Wendell lose a little bit of time, and Franco plays every day, but it'd be fun. Just what the Rays need is more good players in their lineup right now. But it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. A couple of pitchers that were weirdly injured a couple of weeks ago. We talked about them and then came back and it didn't work. Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom. DeGrom came out 3 innings, 8 strikeouts. I don't think anybody got a hit. But struck out 8 of the 9 batters he faced and then left with a tweak in his shoulder. Threw a bullpen session on Saturday, says he's pitching Monday. Obviously, if you have a fantasy league, you're using him. But I have no idea whether DeGrom is going to go 80 pitches on Monday or 3. It's just who knows. Yeah.
So a couple things. One, you know, he hurt his shoulder swinging the bat is what they said.
That's what they said,
And two, he said this is the soreness he usually feels after a start, but he's feeling it in the start and couldn't shake it. So I was kind of – and that's actually kind of concerning in a way. It's like, okay, now it's getting – right. More intense, but
you're supposed to get sore after the start. You're not supposed to have hurt. Like it's a weird like in between hurt and sore. Like, who knows? But I mean, like the way he walked off of the three innings, I thought he was like done. He just walked to the clubhouse and he was gone. I have no idea. I'd probably give him a week or two off from the Mets, but I guess if he's ready to pitch, he says he's ready to pitch. What are you going to do? But I probably would have skipped a start if I were them.
Yeah, I think I would too, but I don't know what that. You know, I guess, you know, I don't know the science behind it. What would missing one start accomplish? You know, that's the tricky part here. It is a 7-inning game. Keep that in mind. So have him just go 5 and he's done.
Yeah, I mean, the start the other day was so nasty. It was just smoking fools and all of a sudden he walked out. But, I mean, the numbers he's putting up right now are insane. I probably have him stand up there and either bunt or don't swing if I'm the Mets, but I don't know what the Mets will do that. But I think it's at the point now where he's so valuable and so good that I know he has 6 RBIs. I get all the hitting stuff. I'm pretty sure I'm not having him take any full swings the rest of the way.
It's remarkable to me that teams are using the universal DH as a bargaining chip for the players. It's like, it's against their own interest. You know, all these pitchers are getting hurt. Oh, but we're going to give you this. Now give us the playoffs, more playoffs. No.
Right. Come on. Oh, the offseason's going to be rough, Jeff. It's not going to be fun.
Yeah.
But Max Scherzer, he did skip his start, and he had a 40-pitch bullpen session on Saturday. He walked out the field and told reporters, I'll see you Tuesday. So it sounds like he's ready to go. Another guy that, if he's taking the mound on Tuesday in any shape or form, you're putting him in your lineup.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the interesting thing about Scherzer is, does he get dealt at the deadline? I mean, they had a pretty good weekend against the Mets.
That'd be a freaking spicy one. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Now, you know, the Nats, they've had to come back before from a bad start, obviously in 2019. Yeah. So
that worked out pretty well.
Yeah. And the thing is, they've won 8 out of the last 10. They took three out of 4 against the Mets this past weekend. They're 33-36. So they're doing better now. You know, Schwarber had the 3-homer game, but I look at that roster and I just, is Eric Fetty a major league starter? Is Joe Ross a major league starter? Patrick Corbin pitching well the last couple times out is huge for them.
It's big.
And they got to get Strasburg back.
And the funny thing there is, unless the Giants tank, there's no like wild card spot really for these 500 teams to shoot for. Because unless the Giants tank, and it's very possible, but they're 20 games over, the two wild card spots are very likely to be NL West teams at the moment.
Yeah, they're very lucky that the Mets haven't run away with this division. Yeah. The Mets have had 1,001 injuries. We just talked about DeGrom. I mean, the most important one, but all their bats have been hurt, it seems like, at some point this year. No one's talking about the Braves selling off, but we are talking about the Nets. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, and I guess I discount the NL Central a little bit. Both the Brewers and Cubs are only a game behind San Diego, so I guess they're still in the mix. So, Jeff, interesting stat. The Dodgers today are underdogs for the first time in 150 regular season games since 2019. How is that possible? They didn't have a game where, like, they were throwing a bullpen game and they were facing Scherzer or DeGrom or someone like that. It's crazy to me. They've been favored every game for 150 games. That is a wild stat.
Yeah, it is super wild. They pick their spots when they have had the bullpen starts. The Padres, I think they have Darvish going today, so that's part of it too.
Yeah, home game with Darvish against Julio Urias, but I think the Padres are like minus 125, so it's still a small favorite. But it's amazing the first time you got a plus line for the Dodgers in 2 years. Like, that's wild.
It is. It is super wild. And it's still wild that, you know, the Giants have the best record in the National League.
Yeah.
Not just in the NL West, the entire National. In fact, in baseball.
That's like in baseball, I think. Yeah, I think they're 639, and the Astros are the best in the AL at 606. So it's for all the month ago, like, oh, we'll see what happens with the Giants tank. Like, they've definitely been still really good. Pitching's been good. Offense has been good. They've been strong. Adalberto Mondesi left the game on Sunday. It seems like every time he comes back, he hits a couple home runs, or he's playing really well, and then all of a sudden something comes up. He left with a side issue on Sunday, and it seems like with him, you know, you hope this is minor, but it seems like it never is with him.
No, it's minor to me. I don't have him. No, just kidding. I mean, I don't have him, but
nice.
Yeah, yeah. We don't. And of course, now we gotta sweat this one this upcoming week there to find out. Like, okay, they're off. They're off today, of course.
They are. Yeah.
But a lot of teams are off today. That's the good news. You should be able to manage your, you know. There's a confluence of roster spots where you're going to have to make a decision earlier. But you know, the problem is, you know, you get that injury on a Sunday. Okay, do I bid on a replacement or not? And then you're kind of in that kind of in-between zone too. They're traveling today too, which means you're not going to get news today. That's the other tricky part. You're probably not going to find anything until tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, that's, and the side stuff, like you just worry about the, you know, teams are careful about that because you do some one thing and suddenly you're out 6 weeks. You just don't want to, you don't want to make it any worse. We mentioned the Padres earlier. Everybody in San Diego took a deep breath yesterday. Fernando Tatis dove for a ball and kind of what some of the people, some of us thought that, you know, the second he dives in this the wrong way, you know, he felt the shoulder again. Sounds like it was really minor. They're calling him day to day. He wanted to stay in the game, which obviously they didn't do that, which is good, but he's expected back on Monday. It seems like he keeps skirting it being really, really bad. But I think that, you know, maybe not diving for balls as much to that side, but seems like it'd be fine. Seems like we dodged a bullet here on Tatis.
Yeah, I'm going to get out of the Fernando Tatis Jr. doomsaying business.
Yeah,
here.
It's just, I mean, and he homers every game anyway. So even if he gets hurt at some point, it's been so good. But I just hope he stays healthy. He's so fun and good for the game. I love watching him play. I as someone who's dealt with shoulder injuries, I worry, but not because of the fact that I don't want something bad to happen or I want to be right. I just want him to be out there, and I just hope he can stay in there. I know he's changed his swing. He's finishing with two hands, which obviously helps a lot too. It's amazing that the dude changed his swing like kind of mid-season and still just raking at all times.
And brought the fire even like stronger for a little bit there in that first week back, actually, or about after a week, second week back basically is when he had that fire week.
A few quick notes here because I want to get to a few players at the end here. Nelson Cruz left early Sunday with some neck soreness. He's playing really well, but it certainly seems like some tweaks and stuff are getting to him. He's 40 whatever years old, so I guess that's to be expected. But the Twins do play today, so we should know. They play our Reds today, so we should know pretty early on. That is a home game for the Twins, so Nelson Cruz would be playing if there is a DH. Right. So Jeff McNeil plans to be activated on Monday. You mentioned him earlier for his stellar outfield defense. It's time to get him back in the lineup. Albert Alzolay coming back. Would you start him this week right off the IL, Jeff? He's got two-step. He's got the Indians and then at the Dodgers. That second one makes it a little bit tough, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially I kind of wish that – yeah, I mean, the thing is I wish it were the other way around because you don't mind a shorter outing against the Dodgers. You're like – but against Cleveland, you want a long outing. Now, if he gets – I might still do it, but – I'm not happy about it.
I'm throwing him out there. It was a blister. You got to figure that he's good from that. I think I'm doing it in hopes that he throws five against Cleveland, then maybe skirts through five or six against LA. I think he's good enough that I'm probably using it because it's two starts. If it was one
who's
against
your alternative,
I don't. I actually don't have him. It was just more of a rhetorical question, but or more of a hypothetical question than a rhetorical question.
Right.
I think I'd use it just because I think he's good enough. And if it was one start against the Dodgers, it'd be sit for a week and kind of see how it looks. But if with two, I think I'm throwing it out there.
Okay.
A few guys that sat the weekend. Jose Ramirez sat Saturday, Sunday with a bruised left foot. Another guy just kind of checked lineups. Josh Donaldson the same way. Except Josh Donaldson's a calf injury, which we always worry about. It sounds like calf soreness, and they just came out because it was a precautionary thing. But then he missed Saturday and Sunday. The Twins, like we mentioned, do play today, so I would check that one. Luke Voit playing rehab games, expect to be activated on Tuesday. If you've been waiting on him or picked him up off the second injury, it's time to get him back in the lineup. Jeff, we mentioned the Dodgers. Max Muncy and Cody Bellinger playing in simulated games. They both sound pretty close. The quote was either Tuesday or Wednesday for them. I think that probably makes them sits this week because you just don't know if you're going to get maybe two games or possibly three games. And that makes them really tough because the Dodgers play today and they won't be playing today.
It's a 7-game week for the Dodgers. I might roll with them.
In a full season, or we have to sit lineup for the full week. I agree. In a half week, I think I'm sitting from the first 7, getting him in for the weekend is probably.
Yeah, that's right. I know. It's always default to NFBC first. Right. Yeah, and you may not have an option too. I mean, there's been many injuries this year, but it. Yeah,
that's a good point. Though, 'cause a lot of people play where you set it for the full week, and in a full week league, I think I've got to start. But they're both good enough, great enough that I would start both of them with the hope that you get 4 to 5 with a shot at 6 games. But probably 5 is a good number to land on. I think that's enough that I'm going to start them.
All right.
Mike Moustakas on our Reds went on the 60-day IL. Mm. I assume we just drop him. How do you feel about him? And I guess at 12, I'd probably say drop. 15, do you hold? It's got to be close though.
12, I definitely dropped. Yeah. I've been holding all this time in online championship.
I didn't know you had him. Brutal. Sorry, that's brutal. Yeah.
Yeah, brutal. And the thing is, just you look at how it changes the Reds lineup too. It's just, get that. You're always getting Kyle Farmer in the lineup now. It's just, I mean, good human being. He's useful as a utility guy, but you don't want him starting every single day.
Yeah. Someone in the chat asked about Ty France. That news just came out this morning. He's having an MRI in his wrist. He seems like he grabbed it. He got taken out of the game. That's a concern. Like it's too bad because he raked this week. He had a really big week. I looked at picking him up in some shallower leagues where he was available, and I ended up not getting him. I'm probably lucky there. But MRI in his wrist as a hitter is never a good thing, Jeff.
No, it's not. And just have a stretch where you don't, go unfettered for a while. It'd be nice, but and the thing is, like, Shed Long has actually been playing well, so that kind of settled second base for them a little bit.
Walk off grand slam yesterday. That was nice.
Yeah, and he I think he started like 7 games in a row. Dylan Moore is back too, so they kind of, France, with France being hurt again, that pretty much opens things up for Jake Bowers to play every day. I will say, I mean, the fact that it's an MRI, that's the thing that's scary. Yeah, it means there's something there.
Yeah, it's not like he felt a tweak and he seems fine. We would go day to day. The fact that he's actually going in for tests is usually a pretty bad sign that either he's going IL or if he doesn't, at least he's going to be out for a few games here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a few players before we get out of here. Some guys I want to ask you about. I guess we can't really go this long without talking about Kyle Schwarber's weekend. 5 home runs, 2 on Saturday, 3 Sunday. It's funny. He just like that. He was kind of struggling. Now he has 18 home runs on the year. It's funny. You look at it and you kind of just toss out 2020. It looks like he's kind of just back to the same guy we always thought he was. A ton of power. Batting average is going to be an issue. But last year he hit 188. The BABIP was really low. And I just think that if he had played a full season last year, he probably just gets back to who he is. I think he's kind of there now. I mean, before yesterday, he had a 50.3% hard hit, 14.1% barrel. The strikeouts are kind of where they always are, 29%. Walks are about 10%. I think he's just who he is. A lot of home runs, going to hit 240 somewhere in there, which is valuable in this era where batting average is not great. I think we're back to the 2019 Schwarber that we all liked.
He is like the poster child for the for this era.
He really is.
Yeah, a lot of Ks, lot low batting average, not much running, not a great defender, but man, he can mash. They get a day off today, so that kind of gives him a little bit of time. Remember, he didn't get that chance at the 4th homer because of the knee was bothering him a little bit, and said it's been bothering him all weekend. Just think if he had been fully healthy, maybe
right,
he would have hit 10 homers. No,
and it's just the difference between him hitting 240 and buck 90 is like the difference between you being really good in fantasy leagues and being unplayable. So I think it's really good to see that it's come around. I think that we can attribute 2020 to just a small sample,
kind of like Joey Gallo.
Yeah. I mean, guys like that, they get hot and cold, and we just never got to see their hot streaks because the season ended.
Yeah. Gallo can run a little bit, whereas Schwarber emphatically cannot. But and like we said, big stretch for the Nats right now. They got a chance to stay close with the Mets here. They had a pretty good weekend, set of games with them. They get a makeup of a rainout next Monday against them as well. So they'll have a bonus game next week. But this is a chance for them to make some hay. They go at Philly, at Miami this week. Then home against the Mets in that one game in Tampa and the Dodgers. Ooh, that's a tough week next week.
Big stretch. I mean, if they can play well against those teams, maybe it changes what they think going forward.
Yeah. By the way, I forgot to mention in the free agent section, I picked up Patrick Corbin for Liss and I in the Second Chance League, which is a 12-er. Nice. Corbin's been pitching well, and I'm not a huge fan, but when we're talking about upside, you're just looking for guys that could be difference makers. You take a chance on someone like that.
I picked him up last week in my online.
You're ahead of the game.
I'm taking in wins. I'm really bad in wins, so I'm trying to get anybody with a pulse of the two starts. And I had to bid on him, and it might have been my best two star week of the entire year was a free agent pickup. So that'll tell you how the rest of my roster is doing pitching wise.
No, it tells you that you were smart and ahead of the curve, and it worked out.
It did. So I held him. My thought was I'm going to stream him, get these two starts, and get out of here. But I held him. I'm probably going to throw him this week against Miami.
Yeah.
Talk to me about Jose Altuve out of nowhere with the huge June right now. He's hitting .296, 16 home runs, Jeff. It's crazy. 53 runs, 39 RBIs. Only two stolen bases. I think we can kind of toss out the old stolen base years with Altuve. But career high 41.4% hard hit rate, career high 8.1% barrel. The K rates dropped more to around normal. He struck out a little bit more last year, and he's down to 15%. You think we could kind of just? I think we could probably just toss out 2020 with Altuve. There were so many things going on with the Astros last year, and also the small sample. It looks like that's he's kind of back to who he was maybe in 2019 when he hit a bunch of home runs, didn't strike out. You know, 15% strikeout rate, high average, no stolen bases. I think we're back to that 2019 guy. It seems right now.
Yeah, it seems like it. And you know, a lot of smart people. I'm not one of them. Said you know, just toss out 2020. And, you know, he isn't going to run. And so that is going to be, you know, a little bit of drag on his value, especially because we're looking for stolen bases from our middle infielders frequently. But when you're hitting like he's hitting, I mean, you deal with that there. If you get a repeat of 2019, you're more than fine.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I always thought the 31 home runs, like, kind of stuck out. Like, where did that come from? Happy fun ball. But, I mean, he's halfway there already, and we've played 60 games.
Yeah.
He's played 60 games.
With the power down across the board, 25 homers would be a pretty good season. Now, granted, we're already at 16. I'm going to be greedy. I don't want to settle for 8 more homers the rest of the season. I want 30. I want that 15 more homers. So, but, and we might get it.
Yeah. Another guy who's mashing right now, and I got to talk to him, is my boy Matt Olson in Oakland. I hit his 20th home run on Sunday. Craziest stat about Matt Olson last year. He was brutal last year. He struggled. He looked like he was pressing, and he looked like as the year went on, he was pressing more. He hit .95 last year. He's in .305 right now. Strikeout rate last year was 31.5%. Jeff, this year 16.2%. This is that's not gonna stick. But like that, cutting that in half. Apparently, he said he used some machine that was available at Dick's or something that like really has helped his like it's like $100 machine. They're like you could see like spots on the ball or something. They call it the red machine. And Tommy La Stella apparently used it a lot last year and introduced the A's to it. But apparently, it really helps recognizing pitches and all that. But hard hit rate's 15.8%. Barrel rate's a career high 15%. I mean, this is the profile of a guy that's flat out elite right now.
Yeah, it sure is. And it's the guy that this is why he had so much helium in last year's drafts. It was just delayed. You know, it's funny thing is you brought him up here and today, you're like struggled all year, all, you know, 2 months. You know,
basically. Yeah, right.
And the thing is, you have time to work stuff out again. Yep. Whereas last year you just didn't. And I think one of the things that with it being a short season last year is I think it made players press more.
I do too. Because you can't. Yeah, I like to say you can see it, but you can't actually. But you could almost see it with Olson last year. Like he got to, and the A's were contending, and he was trying to contribute. Mm-hmm. And like that, the last like 3 or 4 weeks, when the end of the season, it was the second month. But you could just tell that he was trying to guess early. He was trying to swing early. He's trying to make cuts. He's not trying to not strike out again. You could just see his at bats changing a little bit. And I watched them a lot. You could just see it was different at bats last year. He was definitely pressing.
He was.
But I mean, so 60% strikeout rate's not going to last. But if you get him at like a 21% strikeout, right? Like the guy is just going to be unbelievably valuable. You get no stolen bases, but all the other stats will be there. If he can strike out that level, I mean, he'll be just insanely good.
He will.
Talk to you about Alex Verdugo is interesting. We talk a lot about when, you know, Mookie Betts and the Dodgers won the World Series of Betts last year. And oh my God, I can't believe the Red Sox traded him. But Verdugo has been really good for the Red Sox so far, hitting .289, 9 home runs, 43 runs, 32 RBIs. Been really, really good. His K rate's insane, 12%. Like a guy that makes a ton of contact. Swing strike rate's down to under 6%. Fly ball rate's under 30%. So probably, and always has been, probably puts a cap on the home run. So I think that, you know, the home runs we're seeing now is probably his top level at the moment. But it looks like a pretty good player right now. How do you feel about Verdugo kind of going into the summer here?
I thought status quo, but maybe that's not giving him enough credit. You know, I always look at him as a pretty good average guy that's going to score a lot of runs, batting in front of JD Martinez and Xander Bogaerts. And
great spot.
Yeah. Four for four on stolen base attempts. I'd like to see him run a little bit more because you're not expecting a ton of power. But, you know, this is a guy that could probably end up with 15 to 20 homers while hitting for good average and scoring a ton of runs. That's a useful player.
Yeah, I mean, career, he's a 290 hitter. I mean, when you're in an era where, you know, everybody's hitting 235 and the league's hitting 235, a guy that hits 290 is, I mean, you could throw him, like you mentioned, with the run scored, you're going to get that. And if you get any pop or steals, he becomes way more valuable really, really quickly.
He does.
A couple more guys I want to talk about before we get out of here. We both got to jump, but Jared Walsh is, and there was a lot of talk about him last year. He got called up and he hit really well, but he's quietly putting together a massive season in Anaheim. I did not realize he had 18. I knew he was doing well, but he's hit 290 with 18 home runs, 40 runs, 51 RBIs. He's fully, we talked about the short season, like maybe he could toss some of these guys out. He's fully backing up his 2020 breakout. The K rate's up last year. You know, last year was crazy low, but it's kind of closer to his minor level. So he does strike out a lot, 28%, but hard hit rate, 42%, a huge 14% barrel guy. I don't know. Walsh has been hugely valuable for where he got drafted this year. How do you kind of feel about him going forward? Do you think we're looking at just a big masher? Do you think he's been hot? Where do you feel about how do you feel about Walsh the rest of the way?
I like him. I like him a lot. I did a article on the Lindy stats. You remember we had Lindy last year? And one of the things was just a simple one: RBI plus runs divided by plate appearances, and he stood out. It was like Angels got to play this guy more often. The Angels like, oh yeah. We need to. Goodbye, Albert.
Yeah, they finally figured that too. And the playing time stuff that we're a little bit worried about in the preseason is totally gone. I mean, this 18 home runs is like, I thought he had 12 or 13. I looked up, I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy's masterful.
Yeah, he is. Hitting for average too. And you know, getting high average power is not easy to find. And he probably qualifies at first and in outfield. Like to get two more games in the outfield. Probably won't happen now, but if we could get two more, then we get outfield now, eligibility next year too. Would be nice.
You need a couple of those like mid-game ones where like they pinch it for someone and he just shifts out there and moves him in. You need a couple sneaky ones, probably the way to get it.
Yeah.
Dinelson Lamet has been tough to figure out fantasy-wise. He was popular, then he had the injury, and he wasn't as popular, and then he kind of moved up a little bit. Pitched really well on Sunday. Five innings and finally got to five. Four hits, one walk, seven strikeouts. Only the second time he's completed five innings, which has made him very difficult to use because you're kind of tossing out one of the four stats he can contribute to. You can't get wins if he doesn't go five innings. But seems like they're stretching him out a little bit more. I think that I think we all feel he's kind of a ticking time bomb where at some point he's gonna throw a pitch and his arm's gonna hurt and he's gonna come out. But 32 innings only, but a 2.8 ERA. The K rate's actually down. The velocity's down too, which maybe he's kind of trying to baby that arm a little bit. It's down from 97 to 94, 95 and a half. K rate's down to 26%. So still a usable range, but not kind of the elite guy he was last year. Mm-hmm. How do you handle Lamet right now? I mean, if you own him, do you have to start him? I guess you probably do until he breaks. But how do you feel about him? I have none of him just because I was worried that you could get 10 innings out of him pretty easily. He's up to 32, but it's still been tough to use so far, despite how good the innings have been.
Yeah, I think that's I have exactly none of them too for the same reasons. Like you said, I think it's the second time he's gotten five innings. That means it's hard to get wins when you're being used as a starting pitcher. The walks are a little higher too. 131 WHIP. You mentioned the velocity. I didn't see what the velocity was last night or yesterday afternoon. See if that might have differed from a season long, but it's down a mile and a half though on the fastball. I mean, it's not just down; it's down a pretty good chunk.
Yeah, so there's enough there that like he's been pitching well, and he's still nasty. But I just wonder if I think if I had him and I'm in a trade league, I'd probably try and use that start yesterday and see if anybody wants to bite on him with the upside.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Anybody else that you want to discuss? I know we've kind of hit everybody on the list here, and we're jumping off. You're off to do the Sirius XM show. Anybody else you want to talk about before we jump out?
No, I think we're good.
Beautiful. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, the Monday morning version this week. We thank WynnBET for their sponsorship. That's WynnBET. If you want to follow Jeff on Twitter, he's at Jeff_Erickson. I am at Scott Jenstead. If you could please rate or review the podcast, it goes a long way to helping us also. Any other questions or anything else you want to talk about, hit us up on Twitter. We'll be happy to answer questions there. Other than that, we'll be back at you, Jeff, next Sunday night.
Yep. Looking forward to normality.
Beautiful. Yeah, some normality is always a good thing. So everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. If you have any watching the live stream, hope it was a good fantasy week, and take care.